Many Christians believe that the New Testament is the infallible Word of God, recorded by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In this video, we are going to put this notion to the test by scrutinizing its accounts. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus relates a parable about himself which points to his death inside a vineyard. So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. The same parable can be found in Matthew and Luke. However, their versions have Jesus being killed outside a vineyard. In this parable, the vineyard symbolizes the city of Jerusalem. In other words, Mark has Jesus die inside Jerusalem, whereas Matthew and Luke have Jesus dying outside of Jerusalem. The New American Bible confirms Luke has altered his Markan source and reports that the murder of the son takes place outside the vineyard to reflect the tradition of Jesus' death outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Now, this is not the only contradiction that is present. In the following account, Luke claims Jesus foretold that it was impossible for him to die outside Jerusalem. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. We can see that Luke's parable not only contradicts Mark about the location of Jesus' death, but Luke also contradicts itself when it claims that Jesus foretold that he cannot die outside Jerusalem. Christian apologists argue that the mention of Jerusalem is actually a reference to its people. They cite the very next verse of Luke as evidence. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets." They argue that a city does not kill people, rather people kill people. Hence, when Luke mentioned Jerusalem, he was referring to the religious authorities in Jerusalem. In other words, the priests, scribes, and rabbis, and not the physical city itself. So what Luke intended is that Jesus cannot die outside of the authority of the Jewish religious leaders. This is exactly what happened. He was condemned by the Jerusalem religious authorities and died under their order. It's irrelevant that he died outside of the walls of Jerusalem, since Luke is not referring to the physical city. In response, this explanation does nothing to resolve the contradiction at hand. The fact is that all three Gospels are quoting the same parable spoken by Jesus. So regardless of how one defines the word Jerusalem, Mark still says that Jesus will die inside Jerusalem, whereas Matthew and Luke say outside Jerusalem. Whether you want to define Jerusalem as a city, its people, or even a pink elephant makes no difference. The contradiction remains due to the discrepancy of inside versus outside. According to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the disciples prepared the Passover feast and ate it with Jesus. This is the famous Last Supper. Now, the Gospel of John also indicates that Jesus had a last meal with his disciples. However, unlike the accounts in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, we are told that his final meal took place before the festival of Passover. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. The evening meal was in progress. John goes on to state that Jesus was put on trial during the day of preparation for the Passover. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Remember that in the other Gospels, Jesus actually ate the Passover meal before his arrest. John's timing of the story is different. He claims that Jesus was put on trial before the Passover meal was eaten. Christian apologists argue that even though the Passover meal was consumed on a specific day, the actual festival of Passover was treated as if it was a seven-day event. This is because the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a seven-day festival, overlapped with the Passover. So technically speaking, while the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are two separate festivals, they were spoken of as if they were one entity. We see this demonstrated in the Gospel of Luke, for example. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. On this basis, Christian apologists argue that John is not in contradiction with the other Gospels, because any of the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread could have been referred to as Passover. In response, while it's true that people may have stretched the Passover celebration across the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover lamb still had to be slaughtered and prepared on a specific day, the first of the 7 days. Scripture informs us, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb." A good way to illustrate this is with Christmas. The celebration of Christmas, commonly referred to as the festive season, goes beyond just December 25th. It can refer to the time leading up to December 25th, when people are busy buying presents for their loved ones, and it can even include the aftermath of December 25th, such as New Year's Eve. All of these different days throughout the month of December fall under the umbrella of the festive season, even though, technically speaking, Christmas is a single-day event. Now, with regards to the Christmas meal, when people speak of preparing the turkey, it can only refer to a specific day, December 25th, and not the days and weeks that precede or follow on from then. Even though one can eat turkey any day of the year, everyone understands that the Christmas turkey has a specific meaning. Applying this concept to the Passover meal, while the celebration of Passover as a festival can indeed span 7 days, the preparation of the lamb can only refer to a specific day, the first of the 7 days. Hence, when John claimed that Jesus was arrested before the day of preparation of the Passover lamb, this contradicts the other Gospels which claim that Jesus ate the Passover lamb. Why did the author of the Gospel of John change the narrative? We are given a clue. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." It's crucial to note that the Gospel of John is the only one that identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God. Thus, Jesus is portrayed as the Passover lamb, slaughtered on the day of preparation of Passover. We can see that the author was willing to alter the story in order to make Jesus conform to their theological beliefs. This is one of the many reasons why New Testament scholars conclude that the Gospel of John is not historically accurate. Professor Christopher Tuckett has this to say. In terms simply of historical reliability or authenticity, it seems impossible to maintain that both John and the Synoptics, Mark, Matthew and Luke, can be presenting us with equally authentic accounts of Jesus' own life. The differences between the two are too deep-seated and wide-ranging for such a position to be sustainable. Professor Richard Baucom concludes that John is a highly interpreted account of the life and ministry of Jesus. All scholars, whatever their view of the redactional work of the Synoptic Evangelists and of the historical reliability of the Gospel of John, agree that the latter presents a much more thoroughly and extensively interpreted version of the story of Jesus.
9, 8, 7, 6, 4, you can!
The Gospel of Matthew describes Mary Magdalene's visit to the burial tomb of Jesus as follows. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. The angel said to the women, "He is not here." So the women hurried away from the tomb. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. By comparison, the Gospel of John describes Mary Magdalene's visit as follows. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." We can see that in the Gospel of Matthew, Mary Magdalene is presented as having found the tomb empty, and upon running away she encountered Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene is also presented as having found the tomb empty. However, after she fled the tomb, she met with the disciples and informed them that she could not find Jesus. Now, these two accounts of the resurrection are a contradiction. If Mary Magdalene met Jesus at the tomb, as Matthew says, then she cannot have reported that he was missing, as John claims. Christian apologists respond by pointing out that John's Gospel goes on to describe a second tomb visit by Mary Magdalene, in which she meets Jesus. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Christian apologists argue that armed with this extra information about Mary Magdalene's second tomb visit, it is possible to harmonize Matthew and John's accounts using the following sequence of events. Firstly, a group of women, which includes Mary Magdalene, go to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Secondly, the women found the tomb empty. Thirdly, the women then split into two groups, with Mary Magdalene leaving the other women behind at the tomb. Mary Magdalene tells the disciples that Jesus is missing. Fourthly, the women who remained behind at the tomb encountered Jesus. Fifthly, Mary Magdalene returns to the tomb on a second visit. It is during this visit that she meets Jesus. Now, the sequence of events, while creative, is simply impossible when we analyze Matthew and John's accounts in a bit more detail. Firstly, John mentions that the stone was removed from the tomb's entrance during the first visit, not the second visit. This coincides with Matthew's account, which states that the stone was removed when Mary Magdalene first approached the tomb. So Matthew must be talking about John's first visit, not John's second visit. Secondly, Matthew introduces the story by mentioning two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Thereafter, Matthew repeatedly uses the phrase, the women. This means that Matthew intended for his readers to understand that Mary Magdalene met Jesus when she first arrived at the tomb, which completely refutes the Christian apologist's claim that the women split into two groups. In conclusion, the problem has not been solved. Matthew's claim that Mary Magdalene met Jesus when she first arrived at the tomb completely contradicts John, who claims that she told the disciples Jesus was missing during her first visit. In this video, we have seen that the New Testament contains irreconcilable contradictions. Therefore, we should take its stories for what they are, not infallible historical records of the life and teachings of Jesus, but rather flawed human accounts. Note that all of the contradictions we have covered relate to the crucifixion narrative. This undermines the New Testament claims that Jesus was killed. Its authors are not eyewitnesses to the crucifixion. Rather, they are later commentators who were speculating about Jesus. Amazingly, the Quran states exactly this when it proclaims, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهِ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. We can see that the New Testament contradictions prove the Quran to be true. Those who claim that Jesus was killed are in a state of confusion. To learn the truth about Jesus, please download your free copy of the book, Jesus, Man, Messenger, Messiah, at the link below.